Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and I'm here to talk about the second day of camp for the Ravens and some notes from that. Hot day. There are no pads on again. Let me just get myself plugged in here. It's taking me a bit. All right. Comfortable temp to start, but needed hydration on what ended up being a very hot day. People, mostly the reporters, seeking shade when they could. Absent, we had a few players. Jake Hummel still had that cut hand. He's not on an NFI list, but it's a non-football injury. Emory Jones, who is on the NFI list, Ardarius Washington, who's on PUP, and then DeAndre Hopkins, who is out after hitting his knee yesterday. John Harbaugh said it was not serious. Everyone else was there. So that from that standpoint, we're in a decent position. I want to talk about, for a moment, how I look at practices and the relative importance of certain plays, because I certainly don't report everything, and I want to give you guys an idea of how I'm looking at things and relating what's important versus what really isn't. So I'll start with any play that is done in a walkthrough format, meaning the offense or defense are going at a quarter or half speed, anything like that, is garbage. I don't have any interest in reporting anything about that. And from some standpoints, the Ravens are using particular plays there. They might be installing plays, or they might be just practicing plays they already know. But either way, I shouldn't report on what's going on during a walkthrough, and there's no meaningful information to get out of it. The next lowest thing on the totem pole is the 1-on-0 reps. So that's any kind of positional trill where quarterback is just kind of throwing the ball without any defender there to a receiver. So it's a, you know, it's a 1-on-0 in that case. Those are not meaningful. The third one is 11 on colors. You'll have me refer to it as, but basically coaching interns go out, they get in position, and what the offense is trying to do is recognize what the defense is doing. And they'll go out there, literally each one of these guys, non-athletes in a lot of cases, will go out there and just read a sheet of paper on where they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to move. And the offense has to react to what the defense is trying to do. It's non-contact. Those guys aren't going after the quarterback or trying to do anything else really, but the offense just has to figure out, okay, what's this look like and how do we react to it? So those 11 on color snaps are not very meaningful from that respect. The next up is 1-on-1 rep. Those do occur, and there's some interesting things to be seen in 1-on-1s. Occasionally a defender will make a great play. They're highly slanted, of course, to the offense, which has the advantage on such plays. So I'm not really a big fan of reporting on those, even when you get a nice pitch and catch throw that really an interception is the thing I'm looking for almost in a 1-on-1 rep. Next up is half field reps. So they'll often, instead of running 7-on-7, they'll just run 3-on-3 or 3-on-4 in half the field and trying to figure out ways sometimes to get receivers free, other times to just use the combination of patterns and make sure they're not running over each other. But whatever the case may be, it's a half field rep. Those are a little bit above a 1-on-1 rep, but they're not as meaningful as a 7-on-7 rep, which is the next category. 7-on-7 reps, effectively full reel, only receiving. Of course, you don't have any kind of pass rush component with that. So those reps are highly, again, slanted towards the offense. So I just thought I'd position them in a general totem pole. They're the sixth least important. The next one is 11 on 11 without pads. So 11 on 11 reps are the highest level you get in a normal practice. So the practice may be padded. It may not be padded. But when it is padded and it's a full speed, non-walkthrough rep where the play might be anything, usually situational drills fall into this, red zone or two-minute drills fall into this category. Those reps are the ones that really matter in camp, and they're the ones that draw the most attention and that really should be watched the closer. I think they bear the most portent. Moving up a level, if the pads are on, it's a more important rep. 11 on 11 with pads. You always look forward to padded practices because those are the best within the team 11 on 11 reps you'll get. They're not live fire. You take care of your teammates in those reps. There may be still some brother-in-law play on the line, but they give you the most that you can get in a 11 on 11 inside the team practice, a team practice. The next one up is 11 on 11 combined practice. So that you're getting a lot closer to live fire, but you still play by the rules of practice that both teams agree on, which are usually no cut blocking, no low blocking. They still don't tackle the quarterbacks. They'll still wear non-contact jersey. When contact occurs, that can often lead to fights very quickly. So you want to avoid that, but everybody is kind of walking on eggshells in a combined practice for multiple reasons. One is it's real live fire. Pass rushers are trying to beat offensive linemen. You're being a little bit physical with your opposing number if you're in coverage, or if you're a receiver in that situation. But any kind of really over contact or taking the practice too seriously can often escalate into like two escalations away from being a fight. So somebody pushes somebody down out of bounds. It might be the initial contact is by accident. The other guy comes back and pushes the guy who did it. And then if that player doesn't de-escalate it immediately and he responds back, then that can turn into a fight where a lot of players are involved. So you try to avoid those, and they'll shut down practice for a period of time sometimes if that happens. Anyway, the highest level. So I am really looking forward to the way by the combined practices. The Ravens have two of them this year. One of them is away at Washington. The others here in Baltimore, but a nice set of combined practices ahead for the Ravens. And then 11 on 11 in the preseason. A lot of people don't consider the preseason to be important. It's the only professional football that a lot of these guys will ever play. And in particular, it's critically important to a number of the Ravens who are fighting either to get a role towards the not necessarily a starting role on the roster. And Kane and Braid, for example, are guys who are vying for safety time, or the kickers, are trying to figure out who wins it. Adisa Isaac and David Ajabo may even a competition for a roster spot, but that's just on the roster. Then there's a whole bunch of other players who may be playing the last football of their life in the case of the real bottom of the 90-man roster. But otherwise, they're playing for a practice squad spot. Sometimes it's here in Baltimore. Sometimes it's somewhere else. But there's room for about 69 total players between the Ravens 53. You can add two more maybe for injury, and then you get another 16. So maybe it's 70 or 71 players the Ravens can fit on their team. But there's about 19 guys who won't be playing for the Baltimore Ravens. They'll be released, and they'll have to find themselves another job somewhere. And for those guys, all that tape is very important, and that's why I take the preseason seriously. I understand the context of it in terms of second half preseason football. You're not playing against the greatest players, but on the other hand, really want to look and see what those players can do under live fire, because it's more meaningful than anything I've seen previous to that in camp. All right, let's get back to today's drills, because there was a fair amount to report. The receiver drills, they did a speed off the snap drill. I don't always watch the receivers. I'm often focused on the offensive line, but today I happen to be on the side with the receivers. The coach was picking up the football and trying to see how quickly the receivers would get off. The one guy who looked a little slow was Dayton Wade, who otherwise had, a very good day of practice, but looked a little slow in that particular drill. Then they did these two cut patterns. They basically set up two sets of cones. The players are supposed to approximately hit themselves between the cones, and they don't always. Sometimes they round their route off, and you see something where it's run a little more lazily, and the cuts aren't as sharp. But one thing you really notice if you look at Dayton Wade during that drill, and this is true of Flowers, it's true to probably a lesser extent, I would say, of Wester. I want to see more of him, but I think that I probably saw less from him than I did from Wade in this specific instance. Those guys have very sharp breaks, and they are naturally smaller guys. It's easier for them to change their direction and have it not impact their speed too much and not force them to drop their hips and give away what they normally would to an opposing defensive back if that was involved in the play, which this is just running through traffic cones, so it's not really a drill that involves a defender. But you really notice it on Cunningham, Kirkwood, and Banks, who are all larger receivers. They're much slower going through their breaks and makes you appreciate some of the really fast guys. I would also say another one that isn't particularly sharp in terms of he's a good route runner, but he's not particularly quick out of his breaks is Bateman. And I think this speaks to just how much Rashad Bateman has to sell something to the opposing DB at the top of the stem and is good at it, that he can run a lot of different routes. He's good technically. That's not the issue. He does try and run the drill as it's supposed to be run. He doesn't have the same kind of quickness. Not as slow as the much bigger receivers, but definitely not as fast as the smaller guys like Flowers and Wade and Wester. So anyway, that was just an interesting thing to see. Continuing on with more receiver drills, you saw Isaiah Likely make a nice one-handed grab with his right hand during one-on-zero drills. And he had to turn for the ball. So it was a nice turn back towards the right sideline, picked it off with his right hand, brought it into the body. And what was really interesting about it, I would have just left it at that, but he later made a one-handed grab on 7-on-7. But the difference was he did that with his left hand. Now you think about that. Usually players will have one dominant hand, and that's how they try and catch the football. And to be able to one-hand catch with either hand is an exceptional thing to see from Likely. And so it was kind of cool to see one of each today. The kicking battle goes on. Tyler Loop sat out today. He didn't kick at all. Hoyland made either 9 out of 9 or 10 out of 10 kicks, depending on whether you count one that was called back for a false start. I don't think it really affected the kicks. And just going quickly, he was good for 38 from the left hash, good from 25. And that was a nice low snap that was recovered by Stout. So good job by Stout in terms of picking up the long snapper on that play. He was good at from 42 from the left hash, good from 43 from the right hash, good from 20, good from 28. That was the one that had the false start, but he made his kick anyway. Good from 35, good from 40, good from 39 from the right hash. Now, that ball was his worst kick of the day. It drifted to the left, but it was still good. It still stayed inside that left upright. He's good from 41, I'm sorry, from the left hash. And so he either made 9 out of 9 kicks that didn't have a penalty or 10 out of 10. Either way, great day for John Hoyland. A number of his kicks looked like they would have been good from longer range. Like showed some pretty solid legs. Now, he made a lot of shorter kicks today, frankly. The longest kick he made was from, 41 yards? Check that, 43 yards. He made a 40, a 41, a 42, and a 43. I'm not saying those are trivial kicks, but they really are working the kickers up from a bunch of super easy kicks that topped out at about 38 or 39 yards yesterday to a little bit longer today. And I presume they're going to basically alternate days, although John Harbaugh was asked the question, and he was not of a mood to answer a question like that. He may have thought it was stupid. He may have thought that it was something that we should have known, but he was asked the question by somebody, I don't remember who did it, about, do you have a schedule for Loop and Hoyland kicking? And basically he said, yes. And he when he answers a question like that, he's obviously trying to be very clear to the person that that's not a topic that needs additional questioning, but somebody asked a further question about, will we see, you know, kickers on alternate days or this or that? And he goes, well, you know, haven't you seen Justin Tucker take a day off once in a while in past camps? And, you know, there was some question about whether or not that was the same situation. But anyway, Harbaugh making a point that you know, they're not going to tell you whether exactly how they're going to split time between Loop and Hoyland, but that they are going to have some days off in there. So anyway, that was that. couple stars of the day, actually three I'll come up with, and that's Malachi Starks. Really nice play in half field, where he came from behind on Charlie Kolar and made a pass defense in a half field receiving drill. So very good job there. He intercepted Lamar on a play where it looked like everybody gave up. The ball was thrown and picked off by Starks. Humphrey was asked at the podium if that counted or not. He goes, hell yeah, it counts and whatnot. But in any case, it was a little bit tainted by the fact that everybody held up. But nonetheless, he didn't stop and he caught the football. He was beaten by Zay Flowers on a deep cross, 30 yards. Flowers was moving from right to left between the numbers and left hash. And that might have been a TD on that play, but it was one where Starks has to be the man who moves up or moves back and takes responsibility for Flowers after the corner loses him and he wasn't able to do it. So that was a little unfortunate, but otherwise a good day for Starks. And I've, you know, very positive on what I've seen from Starks in terms of generally being in the right position. And he's made some plays on the ball. So that's nice to see. And a couple today is a big positive. Dayton Wade had a couple of really nice plays. I mentioned some of the things about him in drills earlier, but he made a nice diving catch for 15 yards between the hashes from Cooper Rush. Terrible throw, but he went down and out ahead of him to get it. Definitely well outside his frame and a good catch by Dayton. He also made a great catch leaping over Bo Braid 25 yards down the left sideline. Now, I have a hard time describing this play other than he went up for the ball. Wade kind of came in a little bit low but didn't want to make contact. And all of a sudden, Wade twisted away before Braid could register a tackle or do anything. It was a remarkable yak move that I have a hard time actually describing what he did. All I can say is it was an ooh and ah play at the time, and Dayton Wade did not hurt his own stock with that play versus Braid. Roquan Smith had a nice day. So there's an early play that was one of the weird ones. Lamar was rushed on the play by Kyle Van Noy, who was in the process of getting pressure. He then delivered a sidearm ball to Charlie Kolar, which is a really nice throw, complete to Kolar right around the line of scrimmage. And then Roquan Smith stripped the ball a yard or two past the line of scrimmage just as he turned around. A lot of ways similar to the Mark Andrews fumble at Buffalo. It was a kind of a tough fumble, but Kolar did turn around, fell on the football before the defense could get it. But great play by Roquan to get that ball pried out. And the second one, a similar play in some respects, but it's 30 yards down the field. Justice Hill, I don't know if it was a wheel route or what type of route it was because I didn't watch that, but the ball went to Hill. He caught it he looked like he was going to catch it over the shoulder down the left sideline. And by the time the players got up, the ball had been stripped free by Roquan, and just a very nice defensive play. So Roquan having a big camp so far, looking like the player they want him to be. What else do I have to say? Let's talk other highlights. I'm not going to talk about the QBs today. Lamar Jackson had one interception. Cooper Rush had another. And Lamar Jackson had two interceptions, actually, and Cooper Rush had another. So not a great day for Lamar. He did throw a couple of nice balls, but I'll get into those more in the individual highlights, and we'll talk through that. So his very first pass of the day, John Jenkins tipped to the line of scrimmage for a PD. So a nice play by Jenkins, who ended up in a position that you're not crazy about just a little while later. I'm going to talk about that when I get to CJ Okoye. But Justice Hill had a nice run to the left in space to that point in camp, and we had several good runs today. Yesterday was a very bad day for runs. I mean, a lot of runs were stuffed behind the line of scrimmage. A lot of runs were stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Plays are getting stretched down. The defense certainly looked like they knew what was coming a lot of the time. But anyway, I think that today was a much better day of breakaway runs and some good blocks on run plays, which I'll get into as well. Anyway, Justice Hill had nice run into space on the left side. That was a positive. Then a few plays later, Charlie Kolar and Patrick Ricard led a breakaway run by Rasheen Ali with two nice blocks. So they got out in front of a run right and Ali looked like he would have gone for a long way on that play. What do we have? Awuzie was rushing the quarterback and in the backfield, and Lamar again had the ball out quickly to avoid pressure, got it out to Miller. Just a nice case of Lamar getting rid of the football when under pressure, and not necessarily a great result on the play, but at least what I think would have been a positive gain on a pass to Miller. Miller, by the way, getting a lot of balls thrown his way in a couple of days here. And, you know, is there room on the practice squad? I don't know. Is there room on the practice squad? Yes, probably. But is there room on the 53? You know, there's a real question about that for a player like Anthony Miller. The Ravens seem to have a big six receiving group that would include Wester. And Miller's, I think he's doing everything he can to try and make himself valuable. I'm sure he'll be used in the punt return game, although I can't really say who's been doing that so far. I will say they've been using several different guys and giving them opportunity.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Opportunities, but it's the guys you would expect are in there. Next play was C.J. Ravenel and Kamen Rucker combining to pressure rush left and then throw incomplete. So they kind of each led up, but they both were getting a portion of this pressure. Rush had a loop out to his left. Sorry, Leary, right, had a loop out to his left. Let me just confirm that. I have Rush here. I thought that for some reason I thought that was Leary. Okay, anyway, pressured Rush to his left, and then he threw the ball out of bounds. Now, one of the not great signs of the day came from the nose tackle CJ Okoye. Now, Okoye is the one with a weird background. He did not play any college football. And he's a very big dude, very imposing physical presence and whatnot. But he was in there fairly early in 11-on-11 drills. And after two reps, he was huffing and puffing like crazy. The next time I saw him, he wasn't in on the rep that followed that. And all of a sudden, I looked over behind the goalposts, and he and John Jenkins are both riding this two stationary bicycles over there. So they might have literally been sent there and said, you know, get your wind back, guys. We need you to be ready to play football here. But anyway, that was a little frustrating that they're doing that. The conditioning drill is supposed to weed out, you know, some of that, and those guys obviously have passed it if they're on the field now, but it's unfortunate to see them winded early. Okay, I think I have the play that I was confused by earlier. Aeneas Peebles flushed Leary left into a throwaway. Nice to see Peebles kind of get on the board that way in this camp. That was a solid play. I think he might have had a play on a run yesterday, but this was his best play of camp to date. Then probably the play that was most exciting for the crowd today was Jackson completing a 50-yard bomb down the right sideline to Bateman. Bateman on that play beat Wiggins. He got behind him, and Hamilton was late coming over. Bateman caught the ball over the shoulder, and I don't know if he took it in the end zone or not. Don't know if the play was blown dead or not at that point, but it looked like he was still moving after the catch. So real nice play by both Jackson and Bateman there. Then a big play from Trenton Simpson. He came up with an interception on a ball over the middle. It was initially tipped by Isaiah Likely. It was thrown by Lamar Jackson, tipped up in the air just a little bit. Simpson made the play. Great to see that. Simpson's background as a safety probably helped him a little bit with that. I'd say it was about 15 yards past the line of scrimmage where he collected the ball. So kind of a deeper drop on the play to make that pick. And then he started the return process. So good to see him make a play like that. We saw Keaton Mitchell explode to the right edge for what appeared to be a big gain. Keaton Mitchell's already looked great in this camp. Harbaugh was asked about him and basically said he's really liking what he saw in terms of speed from him. Mitchell, by the way, got the ball again immediately on the very next play on a pass left. He somehow had found open space, and unfortunately, the momentum of the ball took him out of bounds, or I think we could have had a really nice play seeing if anyone could have caught up to Mitchell or, you know, weaving through traffic, because he's one of the players that's is very difficult to catch in space. And it reminds you just how valuable a weapon he could be if he's healthy this year and looks anything like he did in 23 for the Ravens. Cooper Rush had his interception. Reuben Lowry made it 10 yards directly between the hashes. He got up and made a good return on the play. I think it was kind of a step from behind to the front interception, although I can't really say that I caught the entire flow of that play properly. But he, you know, obviously got in the passing lane, made the interception, and then started the return process, which was all good. And part of the interception was kind of rolling to the ground and then getting up. So it wasn't giving up on the play. And then Rasheen Ali broke another run left for a big game. Might have been a TV. And I'm just liking to see this, that the Ravens are basically able to, even against what is a very good run defense, their own, are able to break plays into level two and three at a much higher rate than they did on the first day. There were a couple of decent runs on day one, but it was very tough sledding for the run game on day one. That did it for like the practice report, but I'll give you a few podium excerpts here. So first of all, I encourage you, go and watch the interviews. They'll be posted on the Ravens website. And I'm reporting things. I try and paraphrase things and capture intent to the degree I've got. But please listen to the things if you want to hear the exact words spoken. John Harbaugh was up there, and somebody, and it might have been me, made him kind of angry with some questions, or he was not in a mood to answer questions today. So you never know kind of what the coach is bringing to the podium with it. It could be that he just got in a conversation with a player he's unhappy about, and he's still bringing that to the podium. It could be that he's generally didn't remember that he was supposed to answer questions today, and he's upset about it. It could be a lot of things where he's just not happy to be put in that environment today. But he was a little bit surly today, and you kind of notice it when it happens, and it may have related to the question. So there's a question about DeAndre Hopkins' injury and him not being there. I got to remember the exact order of questions here. The DeAndre Hopkins injury, I think, was the very first thing, and he said not a big deal. He hit his knee, and he it's not a long term thing. I don't remember. He didn't use exactly those words, but it's not a serious injury. And from the sound of it, I kind of believe him, but you go ahead and listen for yourself what you mean. Then the very next question, I asked him about the Warren Sharp thing and the stuff he'd said about the Ravens record in one score games. And I asked if there's anything that the Ravens, you know, wanted to do. And I know folks out there, I believe Harbaugh has an outstanding record in all games. The Ravens outperformed their Pythagorean expectation during the Lamar era. Let's start with that. I haven't actually checked the entire Ravens tenure to see that that's true as well. But they've been an excellent football team under John Harbaugh, and it's really hard to find any hole in the record because they have very much exactly what you'd expect from a great team in terms of how their wins are distributed, in terms of extreme blowouts, mid-range blowouts, close wins, and then close losses. It's pretty much exactly what you'd expect. The thing that's notably missing, or more than anything missing from the Ravens record, are a lot of blowout losses. They're 43-7 during the Lamar era, and Lamar only has three or four such losses. I think it might be four such losses when he's been the quarterback. Now, their record in one score games is not quite as good. It's 31-26, but as since Lamar started his first game. But it's the case that great teams will always have a very lopsided record the more score differential there is in a game, and grade down to a record that's slightly over 500, or you'd expect to be slightly over 500 in one score games. If you win less than half your games, then you might have a problem for a great team. But I'd expect that to be true in any sport: hockey, basketball, baseball for sure. And there's been a ton of study done on it in baseball, because it's very easy to deal with. There's a long history to baseball, tons of data points, and the information is good. But anyway, for whatever reason, this question seemed to really upset him. And he goes, "We won a lot of one-score games. Lamar has a great record in one-score games. We have a great record in football games as a whole." And just listen to his response and tell me if you think I did something to ask that question in a way that I shouldn't have. I thought it's been pretty clear, obviously, the last few days, that I'm a big proponent of the Ravens' success in such games, in the Lamar era in particular. And I don't think the Warren Sharp's accusations or observations, we'll call them, are particularly useful at all. If the surliness was my fault, I'll take responsibility for it. But I think he's misdirecting it. Honestly, I think there were more questions that pissed him off as the thing went on. Questions about the kickers and who was going to do it. He didn't want to answer that. He did say, talked about a Hoyland, by the way, didn't mention this in the Hoyland thing. Hoyland made 9 out of 9, 10 out of 10 kicks. He was also sporting a GoPro cam. And this is really interesting, but John said that the GoPro cam is something they use to try and get foot placement correct for the kicker. And it's the best position they have to watch that foot placement. So he's got this weird GoPro projector on the front of his helmet. This is the first day any of us had seen it. Everybody on the sidelines asking each other, was he wearing that before? And we don't think so. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe Tyler Loop goes with that as well. Another thing that John Harbaugh was not happy about was talk about Ajabo's dismissal. He thought that some of the things that had been said about David Ajabo were very insulting. And again, listen to what John says rather than my reporting on what he says about that. Kyle Van Noy was second at the podium. Kyle Van Noy is normally a very suave and sophisticated customer, works a crowd like a comedian. He'll start making jokes about the way you are and the thing, but this is a little bit different KVN we had at the podium. Now, first of all, he missed all of OTAs. He sat them out. I don't know if that is his typical way, but he signed late, you know, a couple times. And when he's done that, he's obviously sat out those OTAs. So he was asked about retirement and he said, "It's been an interesting offseason." He kind of intentionally slowed his speech there. And again, listen to the interview and you'll get this. He said, "I'm here now." Okay. And then he came back to it at another point later and said, it was very clear that he wanted a new contract this offseason. He said, "I think I'm valuable." And he actually mentioned his own value several times, which is obviously something we're very clear on. "But some others value me differently." So I think the thing he's talking about is that he wanted a new contract this offseason, wanted an extension, maybe wanted more money. The Ravens probably refused it. He's got a year left on this contract. this is a case with all older players, and the Ravens have run into this with some of their stars in past years, that they have quote-unquote old maid risk on their contract. And old maid risk I specifically define as a player not playing the last year of his contract where there is value to the team but not value to the player. And so he'll hold, or not as much value to the player. So he'll often hold the team over a barrel and say, look, I'm retiring if we can't come to a new another agreement. And usually it's a two-year deal that the guy wants. He wants, so Kyle Van Noy would want to be given another signing bonus that would cover, say, 25 and 26. The Ravens seemed unwilling to do that. So, you know, honestly, I hope Kyle Van Noy has a huge year here. And if he were to move on after this year, I think it's something the Ravens need to be prepared for. Hopefully he has a great year and earns a great contract somewhere else. But I understand also the Ravens' position here, that at age 34, he's not getting any younger. And I think he's going to be 34 this season, if I'm correct about that. And despite the fact he's had two of his best years the last 2 years, you really have to question whether the wisdom in having a multi-year deal for a player that age, and really having to understand, you know, when that player is going to retire. But Derek Mason, Ed Reed, Marshall Yanda are all guys who they had these kind of two to make one deals with at the end of their career. I think the Ravens, at times it felt like it was not a real good situation to be in. With Kevin Zeitler, they got out of it and they didn't sign another potential old maid risk deal. And that might've been the wrong deal. Kevin Zeitler had a great year last year again. And so it might've been a loss they had. So it can go both ways. And you know, all with seeing all the pass rushers around the NFL who were having a, getting their contracts renegotiated and getting big money, I understand Kyle Van Noy's position entirely. I also understand that of the Ravens. So unfortunately that was Kyle today. And it was a, we've had happier Kyle Van Noy interactions with the media where he's more toying with us in the way a comedian on stage would. But anyway, this was a little more real, we'll call it. Third up was Jaire Alexander. He's asked about coming to Baltimore. He said, I'm in love. Love to hear it. Seems like a really fun teammate to have. There were a number of things that came out of this before. He didn't really want to say anything bad about his time in Green Bay, but he says the culture is different in Baltimore. And the first thing he put out was the head coach squats 400 pounds, you know, hat tip to him kind of thing. And apparently this came out later when Marlon Humphrey was talking about those guys are lifting at the same time. So John Harbaugh comes in to lift at 6 a.m. and Jaire and Marlon Humphrey and Flowers and Bateman and a couple other people also are lifting at that time. They're in the early morning or the breakfast club weightlifters. So it's an interesting sound to the thing. He said, Jaire said Lamar's recruiting was important, that he would have looked at more options if he was not here. So I think that we can't understate that probably. Another reason he said was the vibes he felt in the business. Very much a vibes guy. He said, yeah, no, I loved it here and the people were nice and yada, yada. I asked him about you know, the possibility of a reduced role. I really formulated my question incorrectly. I should have asked him, have the Ravens talked to you about potentially having a role that's reduced from a full-time starter's role to one where you're playing mostly on passing downs? Because that's what I really wanted to know, is he going to have a passing down role? And he said he'll embrace any reduced role to win a Super Bowl. Now, that's great. I do think Jaire is here with that goal in mind, and that's very good news for the Baltimore Ravens. Said he loves Zach Orr, very down-to-earth and relatable, and he is working on trying to learn the Ravens' very complex defense. It's interesting to hear other players come to Baltimore and talk about the complexity of the system here. Marlon Humphrey was the last guy at the podium. He practiced with Jaire. I was asked about practice with Jaire, and he said it includes a lot of communication, and that's when they're both on the field. He would be at Jaire would typically be at left corner, and Humphrey would be at slot corner for this to occur. Now, Jaire, I guess, could be on either side. But when Humphrey's talking about it, he's obviously talking about that communication occurring on the same side of the field. He said that they'd been in communication during the break and that Jaire had watched film of Marlon picking a fight with the Steelers offensive line. I was talking to him about that, so I thought that was funny. each of them kind of thinks the other is a little bit weird. And, you know, they're very, you know, big personalities, both of them. And that point was made by one of the reporters saying, you know, this is a place where there'd been a lot of big personalities in the past. Was that a good thing for you? And that led to the cultural relating that Jair made. So I thought that was interesting. He mentioned they left together at 6 a.m. He likes that the defense is running to the football. Now, this is a big point made by Humphrey. There's 2 points here. The first of all is that he thinks they can be a good defense if 9 guys are running the football. He thinks they can be a great defense if all 11 guys are running the football during the regular season. Great point. And Marlon Humphrey is one of the guys very critical of certain players' non-buy-in last year. Now, he was never specific about exactly who that was, but we've got to believe that involved the two safeties not completely buying into what was going on. So the fact that the defense had a big day today, he thought was good. He thought that the defense and the coaches have been preaching turnovers. So today was a good day from that perspective. And, you know, they had 3 picks. He says, hell yeah, the interception counts from, even though everybody had stopped from Lamar to Starks. But he generally, obviously very positive about the way that they're able to get the ball on the ground. He says you can do a lot. You can check a lot of boxes in terms of what you did well. You were in position. You know, you made a couple plays to knock down a ball. But if you have the turnover boxes empty, you didn't necessarily have a good practice. So I thought that was very astute from Humphrey here today, from Marlon. He was asked about the resignation of Lloyd Howell. Now, Lloyd Howell was the NFLPA I don't know what his role, president or rep or whatever it is. And he resigned in the last few days due to some controversy with his previous employment. Some things that happened at one employer. I don't think it was like any kind of scandalous behavior or anything like that. I think one of them was a conflict of interest in terms of owning an NFL team. And there's something else as well. He said he didn't want his past actions to be a distraction. And so he resigned. Humphrey is the alternate rep for the Ravens, with Ronnie Stanley being the rep. And, you know, he said he'd heard him speak before. He might have even talked to him before. And he said he thought he had a vision. So he was a little bit surprised by it, but said that they'll get somebody new. And obviously there's a lot going on with the NFLPA and the discussions, particularly as they relate potentially to Lamar Jackson, but to the possibility of collusion and how they will deal with that from their quote unquote secret discussions on the topic. Well, that's going to be it for today. You know, an interesting camp, a lot of things happening on the field, and a fair amount of interesting information at the podium. Very different from the first day, where there's a lot of softball questions and not very much meaningful talked about today. We got some emotion out of those guys who were at the podium, and I thought some revelations of some important stuff. Thanks for listening. Other folks out there, if you want to do something nice for the show, tell a friend, please. And also a 5-star 50-word review, if you have the time for that, that'd be great. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.